Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now only 178 shopping days left until Christmas, and I think you know what that means. We are officially in summer, 6 months from Christmas, and this is Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday movies and TV shows all year round. Hi, my name is Joseph Wade. I'll be your host for this evening. Here with me tonight are my good friends and co-hosts, Johnny Five, the human robot.
Happy anniversary.
How's the view up in space, John?
Oh, it's pretty good.
I hear the Canadarm is giving you some grief, but
Yeah, I rearranged the desk, which means I got to rearrange everything else, and then that's just life, yeah, man. And then
one thing leads to another.
Yeah, the whole lack of gravity kind of makes rearranging seem like it should be a moot point, but
once you place one thing down, it just starts to drift, and it's just a whole headache. Anyway, also here with us tonight is Mr. Bradford. Brad, what's shaking?
Rah! Scared you, didn't I?
You spooked me, yeah. Dang, y'all. Brad, you're cracking into the cold ones a little bit early tonight, aren't you?
No, same time as always.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean,
it's 2 p.m. somewhere.
But I mean, we usually reserve that kind of talk for films and TV shows, things we watch that are just absolutely horrendous.
I never need an excuse to crack into a cold hoss.
Well, while we're on the subject, what you got cracking tonight, bud?
I have a Southern Tier Nitro Coconut Truffle Imperial Milk Stout.
That is the most Bradford beer I've ever heard
of. It is delightful. It's got sea salt, chocolate, coconut. Mwah. I haven't had a dark stuff in a long time, actually. This is the first dark thing that I've gotten in a very long time. And it's worth it. I love it.
Here's my question to you. Is it summer appropriate?
Absolutely not. It's 90 plus degrees out. You definitely do not want to be drinking an Imperial Stout when it's 90 plus degrees out. But due to the advent of air conditioning, we're going to be okay. Also, it's actually really chilly today.
I just said go nuts, man.
Cocoa nuts. Yeah.
Go cocoa nuts, man. But so we have finally shaken off the oppressive madness that was the Let It Snow trilogy. And we decided to give ourselves a break with the thing that we were going to do before we concocted the Let It Snow trilogy, which is the 1987 Muppet Family Christmas special. Gents, had either one of you seen this before?
No.
So many times. This, my friends, was a staple of my childhood. Recorded off of the television, as God intended. Just like we watched tonight. I don't think it was the 87 version. Could have been. But all of the I don't remember any of the songs being removed. So I guess it must have been the 87 version.
It could have been, yeah, because I think after the 87 version, they hit a lot of like I guess copyright issues with some of the songs, and those songs had to be removed for subsequent screenings.
I'm really curious how that happened. If it was like a better to ask forgiveness than permission type situation.
Maybe they just figured like, hey, we're the Muppets. Who's gonna say no?
We have enough cachet, but apparently not. No, I watched this yearly, probably up until my early teens, but it had been a good like 15 years since I've seen this easy. But
oh wow!
Before that, no, I had it on lock. I remember everything about it. It's great. I
mean, nice.
If you want to trust IMDb trivia, they're saying that the biggest reason it's hard to find this thing anymore is that, no one really is using the Fraggles right now, so legal status of them is kind of strange. But also, the biggest thing is Muppets and Sesame Street are not like affiliated really anymore. So you go into big licensing issues there. Where isn't fucking HBO on the Sesame Street now?
Yeah, HBO has that right now.
It's really weird that this is up on YouTube, which is where we watched it, because I was thinking about it. It's like the Big D owns the Muppets, and yet this is quite easy to find online. I guess it's because of that weird haze of the fact that Sesame Street and Fraggle Rock is in it too. I don't know how that works.
But also, isn't Fraggle Rock an HBO thing too?
Oh, is it? Maybe it's one of those...
Yes, it was originally.
Yeah, Fraggle Rock was originally an HBO thing, but it looks like now Fraggle Rock is only streaming on Apple Plus.
Weird.
What the hell?
Yeah, and they are actively trying to make new series of it, so that's probably what the issue there is. So
oh, that's true.
It's like one of those things where all three Stooges are trying to get through the door, and so they're all trying to go through at the same time, so none of them can get through. I guess maybe it's that, but with copyright?
That sounds about right. Or the other analogy, the Mr. Burns analogy, all the diseases are trying to get into him at one time, so none of them get into him.
Yeah, that was the gif that I actually had in mind, as the door with the germs, but yeah.
But no, yeah, and I think I had actually, okay, so this, to go back to the original question, I had actually honestly never seen this before.
I never heard of it before y'all mentioned it.
Really?
No.
Yeah, like this somehow eluded me in my childhood, and I'm now that I've seen it, I'm frankly baffled, because this seems like exactly the kind of thing I would love.
Yeah, like I was 3 years old when this originally aired. I'm obsessed with Muppets and Sesame Street. Somehow I missed this.
It's kind of a crime, right?
And you know, these things happen. You know, some people are real big into, you know, the Garfield Christmas special or the Claymation Christmas special, which incidentally both came out like a week after this aired. And like, 87 was like the linchpin of our Christmas TV childhoods, apparently. But yeah, it just, it's one of those things that just happens, I guess. But I'm glad that we found it. I'm glad we found the original broadcast with all of the TV commercials still, you know, in between all the segments, because it just paints such a nostalgic picture. Like it felt so good. It felt
guys,
so
I need
comforting.
An elephant shower head.
You need a what now?
I need that elephant shower head.
Lay was watching it with me, and when she saw the elephant shower head commercial, she's like, now I understand why Americans are the way they are. And I'm like, yeah, you got us. You got us.
Got it in one.
Got it in one.
And I mean, we'll talk about some of the commercials tonight, because some of those commercials are just straight up baffling to me now.
It was surprising to me just the sheer volume of toy commercials, because I thought you couldn't do that even in 87. I think it's just because it was a live action special, not a cartoon, is why they got away with it.
And also it was prime time, so maybe they were... It wasn't the whole legislation, like, it can't be during, you know, Saturday morning cartoon block or whatever.
Yeah, that was a specific crackdown on, like, advertising during Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
And two, I think just, again, the sheer fact that this is the Muppets we're talking about was kind of a green light for everybody to just jump on the advertising bandwagon.
Sponsored by Play School Dinosaurs and Toys R Us, you'll never outgrow us, but we'll outlive you.
Yeah.
yeah, for real.
Hmm.
So, Bradford, since you're the resident Muppet Family Christmas expert around here, tell us what this special is.
It's like a warm hug. That's what it is. No, there's really not a whole lot of plot going on here. This whole special is basically a vehicle for musical numbers. And you know what? It works.
Yeah.
The whole plot is Fozzie and most of the Muppet gang are going to his mother's farmhouse to surprise her for Christmas. She was originally on her way to Malibu. But that gets waylaid because they show up. She had rented
Now let me stop you right there, because I have two thoughts.
Okay.
One, this is also the plot of A, the Star Wars holiday special, and B, Christmas with the Cranks.
Of course it is. And why not? It's a tried and true formula. Tried and true formula.
Christmas at Fozzie Bear's parents' house. Why not?
Works every time. She had rented out the place to Doc and Sprocket from Fraggle Rock. So they're there too. So they all show up. Notably missing is Miss Piggy, who is lagging behind in the big city, and she'll make her way up later. She's in the middle of a photo shoot, so that becomes a thing. Then Sesame Street shows up, because why not?
Sesame Street in the guise of Christmas carolers.
Yeah. So basically the big running gag of the entire special is more and more people are showing up and they're struggling to find places for everybody to sleep, which is so Christmas. I actually kind of love it.
Oh, I was thinking big running gag.
Yeah.
The other big running gag. Watch out for the icy patch.
Yeah, the icy patch is the other big running gag.
I guess no one told him about the icy patch.
Yes. Where was I? So Sesame Street shows up, then they find a Fraggle hole and they go visit Fraggle Rock. So you have all three of those.
And Muppet Babies are on TV.
The Muppet Babies are in a childhood film. So there's your fourfecta. What was I going to say? There's also a B plot about the Christmas turkey trying not to get cooked by the Swedish chef. It's pretty good. Especially when the turkey points Big Bird out to the Swedish chef and the Swedish chef tries to cook Big Bird. It's quite good.
Yes, it's very good. But also the turkey that shows up, every time I looked away from the screen while the turkey was talking, I could swear to you it was Ratso Rizzo. And I know it's the same actor, but he's literally doing the same voice.
Oh yeah, it's doing they're doing a Rizzo voice. It's like that city accent sort of going.
Yeah.
Where was I? That's kind of all that happens. Miss Piggy gets lost in a snowbank but gets rescued by Doc. Kermit is worrying about her the entire time. And then we're treated to about 20 different songs throughout. And that's basically all there is to it. And you know what? It's simple. There's not a lot to it. The stakes aren't very high, but it works really well.
Yeah, there's like not an ounce of fat on this thing. It is 100% like a Muppets Christmas special the way you would want to see it. It's
not overly convoluted. There's like they don't try to do anything that they shouldn't try to do.
They thread that needle where it's not overly convoluted, but it's not also overtly sentimental. Because the other big, you know, Muppet thing that we've already covered on this show is Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, which I feel like we're the lone holdouts in the universe for thinking that was just a treacly nightmare, right? And not because of the River Bottom Nightmare Band. J-Man, do you have any comments on that?
I mean, that was so long ago. We watched it, like, episode 4?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's hard to remember much about the River Bottom Nightmare Band. But yeah, I just, with this, this thing was just so, like, cozy is a good word for it, I guess. I mean, the reason Karen's not here is because she fell asleep watching it, or it just got too comfy and was just like, nah, I can't record.
That's a ringing endorsement if I've ever heard one.
She was just like, why isn't it Christmas yet? And then fell asleep.
Can I say I'm overjoyed that both of you really enjoyed this?
Oh yeah, I was genuinely worried that I was going to watch this and just be frustrated and bored and that something would be wrong with me. But no, as soon as this thing started and then until the moment it ended, I was just like. It was like a warm blanket and I wished it was Christmas for an hour. And for me to watch this in like at the beginning of summer and the end of June, it's exactly what I needed right now.
I'm so glad to hear that.
There's no reason not to watch this stuff out of season, because if you're the type of person who doesn't like summer, you just go outside and you sweat your face off. Go inside, you know, crank up the AC and put on Muppet Family Christmas, and it's just perfect. It's perfect for you.
And all of you folks out there saying that we hate Christmas, we don't hate Christmas. It's just that most Christmas media is not this good and actually reminds you of Christmas.
Yes, exactly. This is the reason why we enjoy Christmas. It's because of things like this, because we get to rewatch and re-experience and experience the joy of things like this, and trying to force nostalgia on people unless it's their personal nostalgia, is just always going to fail.
Yeah, like, I think if they somehow managed to make this thing happen again this year, like, if they redid this year...
Oh, it'd be so bad, right? Yeah. It'd be terrible.
Disney's Muppet Family Christmas, but also with...
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, God, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
You know he'd be there. You know that fool would be there.
And Ellen DeGeneres and Questlove, I'll bet, would probably do it.
I think, what's her face? Lady Gaga would probably show up at some point.
Yeah. And also, you'd have all of the brand new Muppets. You'd also have all the brand new Sesame Street characters that have come out since like 2005, and all the old people watching would be like, who the hell is this character? And that's how you know you're an old person, when you start complaining about new Muppets. That was something I realized, I think, last Thanksgiving, when my family was sitting around watching the Macy's parade, and my uncle was like, who the hell is that? And it was like, what's her name?
Abby.
Abby Cadabby, yeah. It's like, that one's not for you. It's okay. Don't worry. Yeah,
it's like,
it.
To be honest, it's kind of like new Saturday Night Live cast members. Like, it doesn't really affect me.
Yeah.
Ugh. Can I just say, we're at a very special age right now where my daughter does not enjoy Sesame Street as much as I do. Like,
wow,
the new
really?
Ones. Well, she's too young for it right now. It's a little it's a little too high. It's a little too highfalutin for her at the moment. But sometimes we'll put it on,
and highbrow for a 2-year-old.
And I think I enjoy it much more than she does. Some legit good gags in there. Not gonna lie.
Mm-hmm. Hey, speaking of which, did y'all notice like the blink and you'll miss it cameo by Elmo in this thing?
Yeah, he's sitting on the stairs. Sled.
Well, he's also in the sled during the pageant, I think. This was before Elmo was a thing.
Yeah, like, I think I looked it up. Kevin Clash had, like, just gotten the Elmo gig in the last, like, year or so before this came out. So Elmo wasn't really a thing yet.
Yeah, like, he existed, but he hadn't had his big break. There wasn't Kevin Clash. There wasn't Tickle Me Elmo yet.
Fucking Elmo got new shoes thing now.
Sorry, what?
I said, when was that fucking Elmo got new shoes thing?
What?
What? Hey, I don't know about this.
What are you? Are you having? Do you smell burnt toast right now, John?
No, there was an episode of Sesame Street where Elmo was like the main character of it, and the entire thing was Elmo got a new pair of shoes and was being super annoying about it because he wanted to show everyone his new shoes, but also he didn't want to get them dirty, so he had Telly carry him around everywhere.
Oh,
okay.
That was 87. In January. So yeah, Elmo was just becoming a thing then.
I see. Well, I mean, Grover is the true one and only king. Yes. Everybody knows it. He's the best character on the show. Better than the cheese. Better than the cheese and the salami combined.
One thing I noticed watching this, like putting the Sesame Street characters and the Muppets like together, it made me realize that Bert and Ernie really are just Kermit and Fozzie. and not just in the sense that like they are literally the same voices, but they're just the same characters and personality types almost.
Well, I mean, it's the classic straight man, funny man bit, basically.
Yeah, but also I realized every time you hear like a comedian or an impressionist do a Kermit the Frog impression, they're actually doing Bert from Sesame Street.
It's really hard to do a Kermit impression.
Yeah. Like, I think I heard Seth MacFarlane do a Kermit impression, and then I heard Bert in this, and it's exactly the same. It's like, Bert is a little bit more exaggerated than Kermit is.
Hmm.
That's all on Jim Henson.
Yeah, the only time I can think of ever hearing anyone do, like, a halfway close to sound like Kermit impression is always just doing, like, the hi-ho thing he does from Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the best Kermit and Frog impression will always be Patton Oswalt's impression of George Lucas, because it's just Kermit the Frog.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, so, I mean, we're in it now. We're about 20 minutes into this. And what do we want to talk about as far as the Muppet Family Christmas?
Oh, man.
Are we just going to gush for another 20 minutes?
I mean, we could.
What we're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much plot to really pick apart, because like we said, it's just an excuse for cameos at Fozzie's mom's house.
Yeah, Muppet cameos.
Yeah, it is cool that they're all in character, like, in universe. Like, when they show up, Fozzie's mom is like, oh, it's those weirdos from the TV show. Like the fact that they work on a variety TV show is in universe, you know?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Let's say this. There are a lot of ways that this could not have worked, and a lot of things they could have done that could have made this really bad, and they didn't do that, and they showed a lot of restraint doing that.
Yeah, like, there were no celebrity cameos. I liked that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know what this felt the most like to me? This is basically just the Jim Henson Company Christmas party committed to film.
Right?
Because it's like pretty much the entire studio just coming together and saying, hey, let's just have some fun with our puppets, have a party, and put on a show and sing some songs.
And I know, yeah.
Sorry. It works perfectly.
I know it's hard to build sets for puppets, but this thing probably I'm sure this was so cheap to produce, but it worked so well. Because they already had all the puppets.
Yeah, you had the puppets. They presumably had a house set somewhere.
Yeah. And yeah, I assume.
It's just so pleasant. It's just so enjoyable.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, but everybody's firing on all cylinders. Frank Oz is great as Miss Piggy and Grover. He's knocking it out of the park as per. It's just so good.
I appreciated that Sam Eagle's one and only line in this whole thing is, "Why am I here?"
No kidding.
But yeah, so let's actually switch gears a little bit here and talk about the commercials, because the version that we watched was a broadcast that we found on YouTube. Somebody had copied it or recorded it off TV, commercials and all.
ABC and we'll put the 7 link in New York.
Yes, sir. And we'll put the link to that in the show notes so y'all can watch it along with us. But these commercials, they do about as good a job as the show does of like just making us nostalgic for our childhoods. In a very specific way. Because you got to think, this came out, actually, this broadcast December 16th, 1987. So it's like a week before Christmas. And there's all kinds of like toy commercials and Christmas commercials and all these commercials geared towards kids. But it's specifically geared towards us because we are like the prime age for this. I mean, well, a couple of years here and there.
You two were. I hadn't been conceived yet, but close. We're getting in the ballpark. It still worked on me.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying is like, you know, the first commercial like right out of the gate that we get is for Play School Dinosaurs, which I absolutely had as a child.
Yeah. So this was brought to you by Play School.
And their big thing was the Definitely Dinosaurs.
Definitely Dinosaurs. Definitely historically accurate with the cavemen riding in slings on them.
But I totally had these dinosaur toys as a kid because I specifically remember having, like, I don't think it was any of the ones that actually were shown in the commercial, but I had these very, like, purple dinosaurs, like, toys that were very much like these. And I had a couple of the cavemen, too. And as I grew up a little bit, I always wondered like where these came from and like what toy line these are from, because I could never find them again.
Taiwan.
And now I know,
probably.
Well, Taiwan certainly.
Anyhow,
but yeah, but by the time I came of age and started to, you know, really care about what toys I had, I was like, I want more of these. Where did they come from? They didn't make them anymore. So, oh well. But yeah, like that first blast of nostalgia, like just right in the face, like, holy shit, Play School Dinosaur.
Definitely Dinosaurs. Scared you, didn't I?
Rah.
That's little curly head kid pop up at the end, go, rah, scared you, didn't I?
And then the second commercial we get, I didn't make notes on all the commercials, so correct me if I'm wrong, is a commercial for Nabisco Shredded Wheat. Which I have to ask, what was wrong with our parents in the 80s where like a giant brick of shredded wheat counted as a breakfast?
Well, in their defense, sure, the shredded wheat was the size of a family sedan, but I think the idea was that you would add liquid to it and let it congeal and it would become like a porridge or like a mush kind of situation.
Yeah, at the very least, you're supposed to smash the thing up in the bowl before you pour shit on it.
Yeah, it would get soft after you pour it on it. And so it's just, it's a carb delivery vehicle, if you will.
So then the advent of shredded mini wheats kind of just destroyed that entire middle step then.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. I understand that now, but like I just assumed that, you know, the shredded giant wheats were like Pop-Tarts for grandma or something. I don't know, man.
Just gnawing on. I do recall gnawing on it like a shredded wheat brick when I was a wee lad, thinking this is like frosted mini wheats, right? But it wasn't.
It's like frosted mini wheats in the sense that a giant rock is the same as a diamond. Yes.
Yes.
What were some of your favorite commercials in this bit?
I mean, the dinosaur one was definitely a highlight. I really liked the one where the kid was dreaming he owned his own Toys R Us store, not because of anything else in the commercial, but when the brother woke up and he's like, I dreamt I won the Super Bowl. And then the other kid just turns and slyly looks at the camera and smiles and goes, I had a better dream.
It's a little bit creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy, and it's also kind of a dick move. But you're a little kid, what are you going to do?
I had an amazing dream. Oh, yeah, well, mine was better.
And I'm not going to tell you about it.
Yeah, exactly. I just go to that right back to sleep.
I did 1,000,001 push-ups.
Yes, exactly.
I had a dream I won the Super Bowl. I won 2 Super Bowls.
There were also a bunch of sitcom ads. Those were fun. Yeah.
Hi, Bruce Willis. What are you doing with all that hair?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just me, but this Murphy's Law show looked like it might be pretty fun. I don't know.
I was looking it up because I got curious. George Segal and Maggie Hahn played like an on-again, off-again couple. He was 25 years older than her.
Yikes. Lasted for how many seasons? Oh, just the one. Okay. That explains that.
That's why you haven't heard of it before.
Mm-hmm. The theme song was done by Al Jarreau, though. That's kind of neat. Yeah. Anyway. Oh, the other commercial I wanted to note was the commercial for the Hess trucks.
Yeah. How did that become a Christmas thing? Because I've always, until Speedway destroyed Wilco Hess, as far as I know, I always knew those as specifically that was a Christmas thing. And I didn't even know about it before I moved out this way. But, like, I remember when the year there were still Wilco Hesses around here when I moved here, that was totally just like, it's Christmas time for the Wilco Hess truck. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think it was one of those things where they just tried to make it a thing. Did you guys know anybody that actually, like, collected or got the Hess trucks?
Never. Not a single one.
For the uninitiated, our listeners abroad or in other parts of the country, Hess is a gas station. We're talking about a tanker truck toy that this gas station would sell every year around Christmas, but it would be like slightly different every year. And they'd make a big deal out of it, and they'd put commercials on television.
Yeah
you're, and it's completely baffling to us, and we grew up with it.
It's still going on. You can buy a 2021 collection.
Yeah, the Hess truck's been going on since 1964.
Wow.
Yeah. And every year they do like a different thing with the Hess truck. Like the one
this year it's in drag.
This year the inside is laced with velvet. No. Like the picture on the Wikipedia page is the 2006 Hess truck, which is like a truck with a trailer, and the trailer has a helicopter on it. So sometimes it's a rig, just a tanker truck. Sometimes it's a patrol car. Sometimes it's a trailer with a helicopter on it.
Then it's not a truck. If it's a patrol car, that's not a truck. So it can't be the Hess truck. I hate this. I hate it even more now that we were talking about it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the lineup. The 1966 was just the Exxon Valdez, basically. 70 was a fire truck. 80 was a camper. Several of them have been, like, the truck carrying things. Yeah, there's one with the space shuttle on the back of it.
They're not, like, die-cast. They're not nice, right? They're just, like, plastic trucks, right?
Yeah, they're just plastic trucks with the Hess logo on the side.
Weird.
that's just like their own proprietary brand of toy. Like it's the one toy that this gas station trucking company sells.
Which, yeah, I'm pretty sure Hess doesn't exist anymore, right?
Hess Corporation. Let's see. No, they definitely still exist.
Guys, this is like finding out Wachovia used to sell like a toy of a banker every year at Christmas. It's the worst. I hate it.
They have those, they get those fucking Wells Fargo bears, don't they?
Wait, what?
You didn't, oh, are you not being serious?
Wells Fargo does bears every year at Christmas?
Yeah.
This is so dumb. I hate it.
Let me make sure I'm saying that correctly. There's definitely like Wells Fargo bears have been a thing.
You guys, I know we like to like find like one thing for our show, like one rabbit hole for our show to dive down each episode. This cannot be it. I apologize for even bringing it up.
Non-toy companies doing toys around Christmas every year.
Yeah, which let's see what Google has to say about that.
Okay, I'm sorry. It is the Wells Fargo ponies, not the Wells Fargo bears.
Okay. All right, let's talk about Muppets. Let's talk about Muppet Family Christmas. Oh,
hang on. I want to put a pin in the thing that Jonathan just said. At least the Wells Fargo ponies make sense.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Agreed.
Bradford, please.
Let's talk about Muppet Family Christmas again.
Okay.
Okay.
I think the thing that scans most for me about this whole special is a lot of memories that I have growing up. Going to like a distant relative's house and like all the relatives show up at once.
Yeah.
And remember when you liked that instead of it just gave you just like chills?
Yes, exactly. Like you'd be, it's a little kid thing. Like you run around the house with your cousins that are of roughly the same age and the house is packed to the gills with, you know, people you're ostensibly related to, but hardly know.
But it's also, nice. Yeah, but also just like, you know, different food that you don't get, you know, year round and different people that you don't see year round. And just in all intents and purposes, it's a special time of year.
Yes.
And yeah, that's definitely at play here. Like it's nice to see a family come together for Christmas, even if it is the Muppets, you know.
I think it channels that essence better than anything we've watched or I've watched for this show, except for maybe like the beginning of Home Alone.
Right.
That kind of nails it too.
It's one of the more like pure sort of Christmas experiences we've seen committed to film, basically.
Yes.
And it's sad that like basically a one-off Muppet sort of joke show is the one to do that, you know? Why? What is so difficult about this thing that only the Muppets seem to know how to do it?
I'll say lightning struck twice. Garfield got it right, too.
Oh, the farm one?
Yep.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That's true.
I'll give you that, yeah.
I think, to answer your question, I think it's because they weren't trying to nail it, and the artlessness about it probably ends up making it work more than if they had tried to go for that sort of. I mean, I'm sure they tried to, but you know what I mean. They weren't.
Yeah,
they didn't play it up or any. Well, I guess they played it up, but you know what I'm saying.
They went into it with the sensibilities of let's make a Muppet Christmas special. So what are the Muppets doing at Christmas? They're all going to what's her name's house. Yeah, they're just gonna sing songs because they're fucking Muppets. You know what Muppets do. Exactly. And Miss Piggy's gonna be late because it's funny and she gets into all these shenanigans. Yeah, then they sing a couple songs. The end. And that's all the thought they really put into it.
Yeah, that's all the thought they put into it, and that's all the thought that usually goes into a family gathering, I think.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, they're doing exactly the thing that they always do, making jokes and singing songs. It just happens to be a Christmas special.
I think the other thing is because other than Piggy getting stuck in the snow, there's absolutely no stakes whatsoever, I think is really nice.
Yeah.
I even think the special would have succeeded without that.
Without Miss Piggy?
No, without the stakes of her being stuck in the snow. No, yeah, she should definitely be there, but...
Yeah, pretty much that's just a good way to have a joke about Miss Piggy getting covered in mud, and it's funny.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. But also, can you imagine if this was, like, the one Muppets thing where Miss Piggy was just noticeably absent, and they just came up with a random plot reason for her to not be there. Miss Piggy agreed with Kermit, and it was going to be way too dangerous for her to travel in the snow, so she stayed in New York.
Well, it turns out Miss Piggy's Jehovah's Witness.
We also retreated to an original character. There's the snowman. He's not in anything else.
The snowman is a fun little character, yeah. I appreciated the very like vaudeville type joke that the snowman does with Frozzy Bear.
I absolutely loved Waldorf and Statler just stealing their thunder.
Yes. Very good, yes.
Oh boy.
There's lots of really good little stuff here. Swedish Chef gets a lot of airtime in this special.
Yeah. He gets a lot of play here, and
I'm not mad.
It's kind of sweet though, the way his story wraps up, because like his little tiny runner of a plot to cook and eat Big Bird is ridiculous enough on its face. But then Big Bird diffuses that situation, and it's the sweetest thing in the world.
I know. He gives him chocolate-covered bird seed and tells him, yeah, I know you're lonely because you're probably away from your family, but you have all of us. And then he decides he's going to prepare... Wasn't it shredded wheat?
It was shredded wheat and cranberries.
Shredded wheat and cranberry sauce.
So, which, if you're telling me that this was sponsored by Nabisco and Ocean Spray, I would not have been surprised.
Better than Cranberry Christmas.
Oh, yeah, for real. But yeah, this is like the rare Christmas special that is just completely kind of short circuits our
cynicism.
Our Grinchy brains, I think. Because this is something that we have affection for in our own childhoods is the Muppets. And who doesn't love them? And this is like pure strain Muppets. It's not like, you know, Disney Muppets. It's not some other offshoot puppet thing. It's Jim Henson and the Muppets. And they nail that home at the end by having Jim Henson actually show up on screen.
He is the only cameo they have in that. And I think that's a big part of it, too. If they had any other cameos, it would have been weird. Because probably at least half of those people would have been like, oh, they turned out to be a really bad person. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, again, like the cameos that they probably would have pulled out of their asses would be like Steve Martin, maybe Bette Midler, maybe Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, people like that.
And would it would have added anything to have any of them there? No, not really.
Exactly.
It would have dated it, but this doesn't. I mean, of course he passed, but...
I mean, the only thing that's really dated about this is just the fact there's no cell phones.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even then, if there were cell phones, what? They're just going to call Miss Piggy.
Yeah, they'd just be calling Miss Piggy on a cell phone instead of on... Yeah, exactly.
Instead of a payphone, yeah.
And I mean, the last thing we really have to discuss, and we don't even have to talk about it, is like the Fraggles role in all of this is so minor as to almost like be like unnecessary. Kermit and Robin find a hole to the Fraggle world, so they go and they greet the Fraggles, and they wish them a Merry Christmas. And then the Fraggles give them a stone for Christmas that the Fraggles have been passing around to each other every year.
We also get a musical number out of it. An original musical number, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Like one of, I think maybe the only original number in it.
I think there's another one that's like a Muppet original. It's not original to the special, but...
Yeah, Together at Christmas is the song.
Yeah.
And that came from a Henson production called The Christmas Toy.
Correct.
Which I think came out like the year before that or something like that. So maybe they thought that song didn't get enough play and they wanted to bring it back.
I guess since we're still talking about songs, I think it's a crime that this is not available on higher quality media with all of the songs intact. How much could it cost to license Jingle Bell Rock?
Yeah, you know, really.
Like the Christmas and song and all that shit. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know who has the most money in the world? Disney. And you know who owns the Muppets? Disney.
And you know who's not going to do anything with this?
Disney.
Yeah, because this is the world we live in.
Disney would just as soon make their own brand new Muppet Family Christmas so as to not have to worry about those copyright issues.
I'm sure they would. And I'm sure, as we just already mentioned,
and
we all know how that would go.
Yep, they would CGI Jim Henson the way they did Grand Moff Tarkin in Rogue One, and it would be terrible.
Yeah,
Don't tell me it wouldn't happen, because it totally would. So the thing we're coming around on is this thing's fucking great, y'all.
Yeah.
What are a bunch of grumps like us going to say about it? So with that said, I don't think we have much of a crankometer to talk about this week, but hey, let's jump over to the crankometer, give this a score, and be on our merry way.
Yeah.
So the crankometer, if you're not aware, is our patented XY rating for how to rate Christmas movies. The X-axis is the Christmas quotient, how good it is at being a Christmas thing is all I'm trying to say.
Yes.
And then the Y-axis is the quality quotient, how actually good of a product this is. So, gentle friends, Muppet Family Christmas, X-axis, what do you got for me?
Gotta be an @5. Come on.
J-Man?
I don't disagree. I mean, it's pure strain. It's what we like about Christmas. It's just getting together with your friends and just having a good fucking time. That's what the Muppets did.
Yep, pretty much. I can't argue there. @5. And then the Y-axis. Quality? Is there anything we can say in its detriment? We've gushed for almost an hour about this thing. If you have any negatives, now is the time to say it.
I don't think I'm a good party, since I am seeing this through rose-tinted glasses of nostalgia.
I'm
an impartial party, but you two hadn't seen it before, so you're seeing it with fresh eyes, so you should rate its quality, because give it a 5.
That's fair. I mean, I'm really trying hard to think of something that I can say against this, and I'm coming up short. Like, every little instance in it is a thing that I love. Like, I love the Swedish chef with the turkey subplot. I love the fact that Rolf meets Sprocket and they're both dogs, but they don't speak each other's language. I love the fact that the turkey tries to convince Swedish chef to cook Big Bird. I love all of it.
And I love that. Just about every character just had a few minutes of screen time just to do their shtick, and then they were gone. Like, Oscar was there to say a couple of Oscar things. Cookie Monster stole a plate of cookies from Janice, you know? Just
all the hits.
Yeah, the count counted things. Like, it was exactly what it needed to be.
Can I say that was a very good gag, too, when the count is counting and lightning snow occurs for a moment?
Yeah, he's while counting he's the counting. Counting snowflakes.
Good. It's very good.
I like when Doc notices that Kermit is kind of sad, and then the cat just—he's like, "Yeah, I'm one sad frog," and the cat says, "One sad frog." And then Robin comes in and says, "Yeah, I'm sad too," and he goes, two sad frogs."
Why is Count the best Sesame Street character?
He's so good.
Because there's no reason for there to be a vampire Sesame Street character, and yet there is.
It's just because the folklore is that if you throw like a bunch of rice for a vampire, they feel compelled to stop and count, and that's the entire joke, and I love it.
Yep, exactly. So yeah, are we gonna give this a 5.5?
You know, I'd be totally okay with that.
Fuck it, I don't care.
You know what? Let's do it. It's you know, we're halfway to Christmas. I'm feeling the spirit. This is a 5.5, everybody.
What else has gotten a 5.5 from us?
I mean, Frosty the Snowman did.
I believe it did.
Did we give Tokyo Godfathers a 5.5?
I believe we did.
Yeah.
And I believe, you know, Pee-wee's Playhouse, I think, broke the scale. I think Die Hard broke the scale. But other than that, it's been pretty slim pickings.
Let's see.
This is not unprecedented, but this is a rarity around here, folks. This is a 5.5. This is the rare, perfect Christmas thing.
And our heart grew 2 sizes this day.
We gave Puppy Star Christmas a -6. Wow.
Yeah, those were dark days.
We have to give ourselves something like this every once in a while, because we knew it was going to be decent to good.
Oh, yeah. We knew what we were getting into, but man, just getting into it felt so good. Folks, I cannot tell you how like rejuvenated I feel after watching this thing, and I'm excited. I don't know. Is this a turning point for Christmas creeps?
No, we'll be back to garbage. No, don't worry.
No, absolutely not.
Wow, we couldn't maintain that kayfabe for 1 second, could we?
I refuse.
Well, let's not fool anybody, least of all ourselves.
No, this is... If you've listened to us for any amount of time, you know what weirdo curmudgeons we are. And sometimes things just touch us in the right way. And hell yeah, that's Muppet Family Christmas, everybody. So yeah, come on back in a couple of weeks and we will bring you back something hopefully a little more odd, a little more strange, a little less Muppety.
Go for us to... We can watch Die Hard with a Vengeance.
I mean, we could. You know, this episode and the one that follows this are basically our two 4th of July episodes. So we kind of could if we wanted to.
That takes place like the first week of August, I think. It's like the store that they blow up at the beginning has back to school signs on it.
That's right. The school is back in session, isn't it?
Yeah. So.
Well, you know what? That'll be our back to school special. How about that?
We'll see about that.
We'll see. But yeah, I don't think we have any other business to conduct tonight, guys. So unless there's anything y'all would like to add to this, I'm going to close the show.
I would add, go watch this special. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube. Nothing to lose.
This is a very fun compare and contrast to like Bah Humduck. Bah Humduck is the wrong way to do this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 1,000,000%. That is such a craven, just like soulless product. And this is very obviously, you know, the Henson Company doing themselves a favor because they enjoy it. And yes. We reap the benefits.
Yes.
We and that's all we have to say about Muppet Family Christmas, everybody. So if you have any questions or comments or recommendations for future episodes, you can send those to us at xmascreeps@gmail.com. I realize I think I said that wrong last episode. You can tweet at us at Christmas Creeps on Twitter. Go like and subscribe and leave a comment. Do all the fun things we tell y'all to do. Tell a friend about the show because we still, you know, 7 years in, we still love doing the show and we want y'all to enjoy doing this with us. So, yeah, tell a friend.
And we really appreciate you listening. We always appreciate anything that you send us, letters, ratings, anything like that. We can't thank you enough.
We realize what utter curmudgeons we are generally in the course of this show, but it's all in good fun, and we do it basically to entertain ourselves. And if you are entertained too, then by all means, you know, spread the love.
Bump, bump, pass it on!
Oh, Lordy. Well, that's going to do it for Christmas Creeps. So for Christmas Creeps, I'm Joseph Wade.
I'm Bradford.
I'm Johnny Five, the human robot.
Wishing everybody a happy 4th of July. If you live outside the U.S., have a good day.
Night, everybody. Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas.